Let me tell you a story of two people, two leaders in the church who had a disagreement. They had worked together for many years, worked together to build up their church as a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, to provide a caring community for their fellow Christians to meet together and to worship together. But now they found themselves on opposite sides, arguing, avoiding each other. And people from the congregation were beginning to side with either one or the other, and telling tales of what they had heard about one or the other. And suddenly their loving and giving and sharing community was no longer happy. They had become divided over what was most likely a minor issue. This story sounds depressingly familiar, and I don't think we need to look very far to find similar stories within our own churches. But such situations of conflict are, of course, nothing new. The story of these leaders comes from the passage which we read from the letter to the Philippians. Verses 2 and 3 say, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Poor Euodia and Syntyche, forever associated with friends falling out. There was no right to privacy in these days, and their argument, which is alluded to by Paul, who writes the letter, that was circulated around all the early churches. It became part of Scripture and is handed down to us today. And I was wondering why we call our children biblical names quite often, but no one chooses Euodia or Syntyche for their daughter's name, apart from the fact that they're quite difficult to say. But perhaps it is because nobody likes to be associated with wrongdoing. That's the implication. I would like to argue, though, that we are in danger of misinterpreting this passage. And perhaps we have done so in the past. I would suggest that we are in danger, first of all, of placing our own experience of church over these two verses and deciding for ourselves what is going on. We know about conflict and we sense it here in this passage. And in our interpretation of these verses, we tend to focus on the negative and not on the positive. And Paul, in the next few verses, tells us to focus on the positive. But we do like nothing better than a little bit of scandal. We can tell that from the front pages of our newspapers every day. And when we were young and in the playground, we would shout, fight, fight! When there was people who were arguing or about to come to blows. And are we any different now from what we were then? So we might like to think that these are women fighting and quarrelling. But we are told by Paul that we are to concentrate on the things that are true and pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent and worthy of praise. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul says that we are to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. We are to lift our eyes from the worldly things and look to see what God is doing. So what can we glean from these verses when it comes to our own conflicts and those in our lives and in our churches? Euodia and Syntyche are being urged by Paul to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's what the verse says. They are being urged because it's very important. They are to be of the same mind. And Paul then, in the next verse, asks someone who we don't know who. He asks someone to help these two women. And we can't really know in which area they're asked to be help, but we can assume, perhaps, that it was over some sort of disagreement between them. Some sort of conflict. And it was some sort of a disagreement important enough for Paul to notice it, to mention it, and to seek to provide help for it. So they're to be of one mind. How can we today in our churches and in our families and our communities, how can we be of one mind? And how can we be of one mind when we are all so different? When we've been placed together as one body with all our different personalities, all our different social backgrounds and all our different politics and theologies. Well, if we turn to our gospel reading from Matthew, it is a parable in which a king is hosting a wedding feast for his son, and he has invited people, but they have not come. And so he sends out invitations to all the people, whoever the slaves can find can come to the party. So God is the king in the parable. God has invited all of us to come in. God has invited, it says in the parable, the good and the bad. All are accepted. Well, all who accept the invitation can come, as long as they are wearing the correct wedding clothes, of course. But that's probably for another sermon. So God's kingdom, in this parable, we are told, is open for everyone to enter into. And that means for us in the church that there will be a great variety of people within it. There will be those with whom we get along, and there will be those with whom we just don't agree on anything. And that is church. Actually, I think that might be the beauty of church. We are not just a group of like-minded people who come together to do something they enjoy. We're a group of very different people who make an effort to get along, to be of the same mind. Now, I don't want you to take this personally, but what do you and I and the person sitting next to you have in common? The one thing we do have in common is Christ. Jesus Christ and our faith in him, and also our response to his calling. Iodica and Syntyche answered that call, and they faced conflict. Perhaps they had very different personalities, different priorities, different likes and dislikes. Well, we do not know how they responded to their conflict, but what we do is we pour scorn on these women because they were in conflict. It's something to do with the way we look at conflict. Now, I'm told that some people thrive on conflict, that some people like a good argument, and they enjoy getting one over on another one. But I don't like conflict. I would just rather not. Why can't we all just get along? That's something that comes from my mouth too. Is it not true that conflict is a fact of life? As we share our lives in close proximity, there will always be conflict. And the one way and the only way to completely avoid conflict would be to remove ourselves from all the people around us and go about in units of one. Conflict is inevitable. But conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. I was thinking it's a bit like anger, because to be angry is not in itself sinful. Anger is an emotion which we feel. And it might well be that that anger is justified. It's not being angry that is sinful. It's what we do in that anger which can become sinful, which can have all sorts of miserable consequences. And in the same way, conflict is not sinful. It's what we do in that conflict that might be sinful. It's how we treat each other within the conflict, which is important. And that is why Paul tells us to be gentle with each other. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In the midst of conflict, be gentle. Now, if you've ever lived with another person, as part of a family or a couple, or with a flatmate, you will know about conflict in everyday life. You will know about the arguments of who left the lid off the toothpaste, about whose turn it is to do the dishes or take the bins out, about who's drunk all the milk. And you will know about this, how you have to negotiate space. I live in a family of five, and the living room is not that big. How do we all sit together in that room happily? So living in community is not easy either, and living as church is not easy. And I think that's what Euodia and Syntyche found. We don't know how it turned out for Euodia and Syntyche, whether they sorted their differences. But we do know that the church in Philippi continued successfully into the next century. So it would suggest that they did work it out. The women in the church in Philippi, forever remembered as quarrelling wifies, they may actually have been on to something. Disagreeing, but not necessarily divided. Needing help, but if they accepted that help, able to move forward, to continue leading the church. Conflict will happen, but it's what we do within that conflict that is important. It's how we treat each other in our differences that shows how Christ-like we are. God invites us to a party. He invites us to come and help him to celebrate, to rejoice. We can celebrate because we belong to God. I belong to God, and you belong to God. And that is the heart of the matter. And the rest? Well, we can work on the rest together, so long as we remain in Christ and know that he is near and recognize each other as his friends and as his sisters and brothers. Amen.